I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
40 years ago, as a rookie with the Denver Broncos, Marlon Briscoe became the first African-American quarterback to start a modern professional football game.
Batting ninth and pitching, number 45, Bob Gibson.
There's the big black bomber from Benton Harbor, Michigan, Bobo Brazil.
Magic Johnson's been the difference here early in the third period.
There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron.
Come to Muhammad Ali. What? I am the man.
And the fans will never forget the sight of Jackie Robinson preparing for the plate on his daring steal.
I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Welcome to Current Sports, folks. It is Martin Luther King Day, a cherished day in American and, you know, just our culture in general, folks. Wow. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I specifically remember when I was in first grade, folks, and, my teacher, Mrs. Brown, will never forget this day. I don't know why it sticks out so vividly in my mind. That was the age when I came to find out who Martin Luther King Jr. was and what he did as a man here on this earth and what he stood for. We'll never forget that day and learning of how he fought for equal rights for all people and the constant turmoil that he went through as a man and as a society, as a society trying to fight for equal rights for all colors and contents of people. Unbelievable stuff there. We'll never forget that. I remember my grandmother. I came home that day. My grandmother, who was at who used to pick me up after school each and every day back in elementary school. And, I told her I learned about MLK today. And she said, "Oh, did you?" And we sat down during dinner, and she told me of she went more in depth on the whole "I Have a Dream" speech and what he meant to her, and I will never forget that day for the rest of my life, and it's something that I always recount when this day comes around at the beginning of the year. And we have to remember, folks, that we are so blessed, especially me. I'm so blessed and so fortunate to be in the position I am right now. It hits me really tough because, me being an African-American male in society and seeing the progress that, not just the African-American race has made, but just humanity has made over time. It's such a humbling experience and a humbling day that we all should never forget what MLK stood for. And, I am so proud to just witness this moment and to be alive and well in a world where, we've come a long way. We still got some ways to go, but we have certainly come a long way. From those times with racism and segregation that was so rampant and wild in our society. So don't forget what this day is about, folks. And it's another tip. It is so personal to me because MLK is actually, a lot of people don't know this, that MLK actually, when he was in college, he pledged the same fraternity that I did. So he's a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. I cross as an alpha man my fall of 2009 here at Michigan State. And so I have the opportunity to actually call in Dr. King my brother, fraternity brother, which is something that not many people can say, which is great. And actually, my bros, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, they are actually holding a march, a commemorative MLK march that they do every single year over at the MSU Union. I believe it starts at 3 p.m. And one of my fraternity brothers, Keon Clinton, will be making a speech to honor Dr. King, and they will be holding a march from the Union throughout campus. So always a great time. Okay. All right, folks, welcome to the show. We have a ton to talk about on today's show, considering the weekend sports action that took place. Of course, you got the NFC Championship, the AFC Championship. There was a wild finish in the world of Mid-Michigan high school hoops, folks, in girls and boys basketball that we'll be recounting in just a sec. And, of course, we encourage you all to call in and share your thoughts on any of it. 517-355-9527. Again, that number is 517-355-9527. You can also be a part of the discussion on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. So let's get right to it. Again, a ton to talk about. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this MLK Day, January 20th, 2014. All right, the Seattle Seahawks are headed to the Big Apple for the Super Bowl, folks. The Seattle Seahawks topped the 49ers 23-17 to claim the NFC Championship. Seattle's top-ranked defense forced three fourth-quarter turnovers, and Russell Wilson threw a 35-yard TD pass on fourth down for the winning points. Now, it's the first trip to the big game for the Seahawks, since they lost to Pittsburgh after the 2005 season. It's the first trip to the big game for the Seahawks, the Seahawks will take on the Denver Broncos, yes, who handled Tom Brady and the New England Patriots during yesterday's AFC Championship game. 26-16, the final of that one. Now, Peyton Manning was unbelievable. Surgical, folks. He threw for 400 yards and two touchdowns. Tom Brady threw for 277 and one TD. Now, Manning will get a chance for his second Super Bowl ring. He'll try to become the first starting quarterback to win one with two different teams. So, again, we'll be diving in and dissecting both of those games. If you watch both and want to share your thoughts, give us a call, 517-355-9527. Who do you think is going to win the whole thing, Broncos or Seahawks? Again, 517-355-9527. Also this weekend, Michigan State, the MSU women's basketball team, they finally had a bump in the road, folks, when it comes to conference play. Now, Dara Taylor, she scored 18 points, 10 coming at the free throw line. As number 16, Penn State handled Michigan State in its first Big Ten loss, 66-54 on Sunday. Penn State trailed 34-27 at halftime, but outscored Michigan State 24-10 midway through the second half, highlighted by a 11-0 run for a 51-44 lead. Ariel Power scored Michigan State's final 8 points and pulled her team to within five, but Penn State made 7 of 8 free throws in the final minutes to close it out. There is now a 3-way tie for first place in the Big Ten at 4-1 between Michigan State, PSU, and Michigan. Now, MSU will take on Illinois at home on Thursday. All right, MSU and Illinois, red hot shooting and a strong first half propelled MSU men's basketball team past Illinois on Saturday as the Spartans held off a brief Illini rally to win 78-62. Gary Harris had 23 points on 7 of 9 shooting, while Denzel Valentine added 15 points and 11 rebounds, a double-double for Denzel. The win gave the Spartans the best start in school history at 17-1 and a 10-game winning streak, which they'll look to continue this week when they host Indiana and Michigan. Of course, Indiana, they play Indiana tomorrow at home. All right, the Michigan Wolverines have officially become Big Ten contenders with a huge 77-70 win at Wisconsin on Saturday. The Wolverines shot a scorching 54%, including 53% on three-pointers against a typically stout Wisconsin squad, and built a 15-point second-half lead before holding off a Badger rally. Nick Stauskas was great. He had 23 points to lead Michigan, who hosts Iowa on Wednesday before visiting the Breslin Center on Saturday. All right, Michigan State, they fall to Minnesota in wrestling. The Michigan State wrestling team hosted number 2-ranked Minnesota on Friday night and fell 35-3 to the Golden Gophers. The Gophers remain unbeaten on the year and have 7 nationally ranked wrestlers, making them one of the favorites for a national title. Brian Gibbs' manager managed to notch a win for the Spartans at 141 pounds, besting Minnesota's Josh Shupe. The Spartans are 5-6 on the year and heads to Michigan on Friday in search of their first Big Ten win. You know what, current sports is Alex Sharp was actually at that meet. Alex, okay, so Michigan falls to Minnesota, I believe, 35-3. What happened for Michigan State?
What happened for Michigan State was that they faced the number 2 team in the nation for wrestling. This Minnesota team was just that good. They had a 2-time national champion at the 285 in Tony Nelson. They had an unbelievable stack line. They had a redshirt senior go up against Garth Yenther, who's a redshirt freshman for the Spartans. There were just so many mismatches overall. So for a team like Michigan State, who is kind of starting to find its identity more and working on a lot and with a lot of new talent, it's a little bit hard to tell at this point how they're going to do. But the match was it was a blowout. I mean, Minnesota dominated them in every fashion. Mm-hmm. Some other highlights, John Rizgala, who's a pretty big wrestling name for MSU, he actually had a couple unorthodox jumping. He tried doing some jump takedowns. He'd like jump in the air three or four times straight up when I forgot who he matched up against, but whoever he matched up against had him in a one-leg lock, and he was jumping up on one leg trying to throw his weight backwards. Mm-hmm. And instead of throwing his weight backwards, he just got taken down. It was dominating fashion by Minnesota. Even Mike McClure was dominated. So.
And Mike McClure is one of the best.
One of the top, one of the top guys from State.
Now they're right now 5-6, still searching for that Big Ten win. After you talked to some of the players, I assume, and the coach afterwards, what's the vibe like after that win?
We talked to coach. He just basically said you're not wrestling for your ranking. That was the big thing he talked about. Was that you're not wrestling for your ranking, you're wrestling for your team and yourself. And that you can't look at this number two rank and be like, oh, you know, we lost to a great Minnesota team. You have to look at it. He was saying that you have to look at it in a way that, all right, well, here's exactly where I messed up on, regardless of the fact that this guy has 3 years up on me with training or mm-hmm. a redshirt senior versus a redshirt freshman. But really more of the actual advantages and mismatches. So
any positives to take away from that match for MSU?
Yeah, they're excited. I mean, they got Michigan coming up in a little bit, so obviously some excitement there. They can't wait for that.
I mean, they're playing a number two. They're going against the number two ranked team in the nation. I mean, 35-3, hey, I mean, they're number two in the nation.
Right.
So there you have that. The Spartans, again, they are 5-6 on the year and ahead to Michigan on Friday, trying to still search for their first Big Ten win. Thanks a lot, Alex. All right, Wings and Blues tonight. The injury play Red Wings face against the St. Louis Blues tonight in historic classic hockey rivalry. The rivalry comes after the Red Wings move to the Eastern Conference after 31 years. Puck drop is at 7:30 p.m. And the Pistons and Clippers actually, I believe, just tipped off, folks. They tipped off at 1 p.m. For, of course, they play every MLK Day. Andre Drummond will go up against DeAndre Jordan, who leads the NBA with 13.5 rebounds per game and a 63.5 field goal percentage. We'll be keeping you updated on that one throughout this hour. All right, an Australian Open favorite, Serena Williams, was upset by Anna Ivojcevic this weekend. Serena was up for her 18th Grand Slam. Maria Sharapova was also eliminated from the fourth round of the Aussie Open, struggling with serving. And I tell you what, folks, I headed out to Okemos High School for the big, big matchup on Friday night when you talk about high school hoops. And Holt, the mighty Holt Rams, fell to Okemos in a thriller of a game. 55-50, your final in that one. And it was so big because this is Holt's, and Holt is ranked in the top 10 in the state. This is Holt's first loss of the season, and it was so big. Again, the students rushed the court. It was complete chaos afterwards. Edward Smith for Okemos, he led the team with 16 points. He was great down the stretch. Jeff Wanch, a huge, huge win for him. I talked to Edward and Jeff after that huge win.
I was a little down in the beginning with the two early fouls, but I was second half. I was thinking I knew I would get in the second half, and we just got to win, and we got to go in and go hard.
What was the difference? You guys really had a lot more energy in the second half.
Our coach, he's been on us real hard this week, real hard, you know, and he pushed us. You know, we were on a streak, a three losing game streak, but we pushed through it, and we came back and got a good win tonight.
How does it feel to be a team ranked in the top 10?
Feels awesome. Feels great, sir. Thank you.
What was the message down the stretch for you guys? When did you guys really know that you guys had it won?
You know, when we were in the foul trouble, you know, I mean, they were in foul trouble and we were up and we just, man, I'm sorry. I'm just so excited right now. But when we knew they were in foul trouble and they had to foul us, it was over. We just had to make our free throws.
What do you think this game will do for your guys going forward?
It definitely will give us a big boost and we're going to keep pushing, you know. We're going to move on. This is a great win for us, but we're going to keep moving, you know. Next one's. On to the next one.
You know, we got done what we needed to get done, but boy, they're good at pressuring us. They were in our face. A couple of turnovers late, gave them a chance.
You guys were a little bit of the smaller team, but how about the job you guys did on Colin Jones tonight?
Yeah, and he's a tough player because he can go in and he can go out, and you know, he missed some shots that he normally makes. But we did a great job contesting, Our big guy, our big sophomore, came off the bench, Isaac, and he did a great job too. When you lose three games in a row, it's really easy to pack it up and say this is going to be a tough season, but they kept fighting. And these got the fans, easily a sixth man, helping us out.
Thanks for the time, Coach. Congrats on the win.
Thank you.
Back to you.
Jeff, for you, how big of a feather in the cap is this for you? Or is it, do you look at it just as, from a coaching perspective, as just another one? Or how big is this for you?
No, this is a big one. Holds the team, you know, that was a notch above everybody else before the season starts. And they're still a good team. They're going to be fine. But for us to get a victory here at home, we've been real close a lot of times with a lot of teams, so it's nice to get over the hump. We knew going into this season that, you know, we could beat anybody and we could lose to anybody, especially in our league. So tonight was our night, and, you know, we're gonna enjoy this one.
A huge win again. That was head Okemos boys basketball coach Jeff Wanch and Edward Smith, the senior forward for Okemos, who was unbelievable during that game. He led all scorers with 16 points as Okemos, the boys Okemos boys basketball team, they top Holt 55-50 on Friday night. It was crazy, folks. And I tell you what, during that entire game, I mean, there was still a vibe that Holt was still going to pull it off. Donquell Jackson, he had a few huge threes. He's been playing spectacular this season. But down the stretch, Okemos hit free throws when he needs to hit free throws. And we talk about the girls are also ranked top 10 in the state, or were now. I'm not sure if the new rankings have come out, but Okemos played Holt in that game also before the boys tipped off, and Okemos handed Holt their first loss in girls basketball as well. That was a 46-34 victory. Okemos just had the hot hand that day. So there you have that. As far as the rankings go now in the CAAC Blue Conference, Grand Ledge is leading the conference now for the boys at 5-0, undefeated in conference play. They have an overall record of 5-2. Holt now sits at second at 4-1. Jackson at third at 4-2. When you talk about the girls, with that Holt loss, they now drop to 4-1. Okemos is 4-0, undefeated in Grand Ledge. They're tied with Grand Ledge at 4-0. So Grand Ledge and Okemos sit at the top, tied at the top at 4-0, and Holt is in second place now with a 4-1 record in girls basketball. Wow, two exciting games. It was great to head out there. I almost tripped a few times because the students just completely rushed me. But you gotta love high school basketball. I loved it. All right, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527 and share what's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. All right, Matt now joins the conversation as we try to dive into this weekend's NFL action, the AFC Championship and NFC Championship. Two great games. I tell you what, when you talk about the Patriots and Broncos, it looked as though it was going to get out of hand for a minute, but you never count out either one of those teams down the stretch. The Patriots tried to make a comeback, but, you know, came up a little short. First of all, guys, let's take a game by game. AFC Championship, 49ers and Seahawks. And I tell you what, this was a fun one. Richard Sherman came up with a huge moment. First of all, here's Bill Belichick calling out Wes Welker.
I was asked about the hit on Tlaib, and I feel bad really for Aqib. The way that play turned out, I went back and watched it, which I didn't have a chance to do yesterday. It was a deliberate play by the receiver to take out Aqib. No attempt to get open, and I'll let the league handle the discipline on that play. It's not for me to decide, but it's one of the worst plays I've seen, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, so to kick it off, that's Bill Belichick. I believe that was this morning, talking about Aqib Tlaib on Wes Welker, I believe, took a cheap shot at Tlaib, knocking him out the game. It was one of those. I do think it was a dirty play, guys. But I can't harp on just that one moment for the reason that the Patriots lost. I don't think Bill Belichick's doing that. He's just saying it was a dirty play and he didn't like it. So that was Bill Belichick addressing that, guys. I guess we'll talk about that game first. Then, all right. Well, let's go Patriots and Broncos on you. The Broncos. I think, you know, when you look at this game, they were great on third down, guys. I believe they went 7-for-13. the Broncos defense was able to put some pressure on Tom Brady, made him real uncomfortable in the pocket. He was frustrated throughout the most of the day on that. Peyton Manning was great. I mean, he was surgical, guys. Unbelievable stuff there. If you look at just the and we talked about the amount of weapons that Peyton Manning has offensively. So many weapons for that team. Just looking at the numbers, Wes Welker, he had 4 catches for 38 yards. Eric Decker, 5 catches for 73 yards. Julius Thomas, 8 for 85. Demaryius Thomas, 7 for 134 yards and a touchdown. I mean, I could go on and on. When you look at Peyton Manning, I mean, he picked and chose where he wanted the ball to go. Down the middle of the field, there were a lot of plays made down the middle of the field. Manning just seemed so relaxed and just was able to pick apart the Patriots' defense. And overall, I mean, I think, again, it came down to, for me, too many weapons offensively for the Broncos. I don't know. What did you guys see in that game?
Yeah, it was just domination. I mean, the typical Brady-Manning heavyweight matchup. I mean, Manning just outdid him. Better passes, more accuracy. Can't tell you how many times I saw Brady overthrow passes that game. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
And I thought he'd be a little bit more accurate on his end. I don't know what your thoughts were on Brady.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, it shocked me because there were multiple times Brady was in the pocket. I mean, he just could not connect with receivers. And that's something I hadn't seen from Tom Brady all season. That really, really shocked me. On the contrary, you know, Manning, he was great. He brought it. I mean, he was vintage throughout that entire game. And, you know, I think a lot of that had to do with what really surprised me was to see the pressure that the Broncos were able to get on Tom Brady in the pocket, which really frustrated him early. And he just seemed a bit out of sync throughout that game. Matt?
Yeah, he was a hair off. I mean, like Alex said, he missed a couple of deep throws that maybe could have changed the game. Like, I know he had Edelman on one where Edelman had, like, 3 steps on the nearest defender. Probably could have scored, but, you know, it's those plays that make the difference in the end. And Peyton was just on point, and it just seemed like the Broncos were open on every single play. Like, it seemed like there was at least 1 or 2 guys who were wide open every single snap, and you can't do that against Peyton Manning, especially when it's 60 degrees and sunny and you know, Denver's rocking, and they were just hitting on all cylinders. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see them go against the Seahawks, because the Patriots, even with Tlaib, are not as good in their pass defense as the Seahawks are. Once they lost Tlaib, and I know you said it wasn't the only reason they lost, certainly didn't help.
No,
I mean,
not at all.
The only 2 guys you can name are Devin McCourty and Alphonso Denard, and that's it. I mean, they don't really have a lot of depth back there.
Right.
And when you're going against a team with a plethora of weapons, guys are going to be open, and Peyton's going to be able to find him, and that's what happened.
Yeah, exactly. And when you talk about Manning, I mean, there were so many plays. I didn't count throughout the game. I'd be crazy to do that. But there were so many plays made down the middle of the field, just wide open gaps that, I mean, I think my grandmother could have made throws looking at some of them. You know what I mean? It was just ridiculous. You know what I mean? You saw Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, who went off. I mean, a lot of those plays were made on slant routes coming right down the middle of the field. And, you know, it led to a Bronco victory. So, on the contrary, talking about now the AFC Championship, 49ers and Seahawks, guys. Seattle's defense forcing 3 fourth-quarter turnovers. That was huge. Now, for me, guys, looking at that game, there were 4 moments for me that were really just gut checks for Seattle just pulling away with this one. If you look at, for number one, I'll just go one by one for me. I took note of. The 35-yard TD pass from Wilson to Jermaine Kearse on that 4th and 7 to give Seattle its first lead, 20-17. If you remember that moment, if you go back to that moment, Pete Carroll actually wanted to kick the field goal. Russell Wilson runs to the sideline and kind of is pleading with Pete to say, hey, let's go for this thing. Convinces Pete to go for it. It would have been negated anyway because I believe there was an offsides call that would have gave him another shot at it. But he takes a shot downfield. Kearse comes up. It was a beautiful throw, a beautiful catch from Kearse. They get the first lead of the game. I mean, that entire moment, you can just feel the momentum just kind of shifting in that one. Second moment, guys, the forced fumble from Cliff Avril on Colin Kaepernick that Michael Bennett, if you remember, returned to the San Fran 6. That was huge. That was another turnover. It was kind of like a moment like, all right, okay, things are really turning right here. Third, the interception that Cam Chancellor had at the 49ers 40. And, of course, the game-saving tip by Richard Sherman, who was pretty amped after that game.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking? talking about you.
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. L.O.B.
Yeah, I think that's an understatement. He's pretty rowdy after that game. Yeah, he toned down a bit for Ed Warder, though.
Describe that last drive batting the ball away for a game-clinching interception.
Well, I told y'all Crabtree was mediocre at best, so I would never let him catch a game winner on me. This is a joke, right?
You're described as the best defender of the fade route in football. How did you set that up?
Like I said before the game, if our team knew they were going to try me on a fade for the game, we'd be wearing our hats early.
You just did the local version of the Lambeau leap. What'd that feel like?
It felt great. Our fans deserve it. They deserve this win. They deserve to see their team in Super Bowl. Go Hawks.
You're the number one defense in football. Peyton Manning has the number one offense in football. What's that matchup going to be like?
Sounds like a fun matchup to me.
Richard Sherman, you're going to the Super Bowl, buddy.
That's what I love about it. Hey, L.O.B., Seahawks, we the best.
So, yeah, Richard Sherman was on 20, folks. Crabtree also, he responded to Sherman's comments, if you will.
Sherman made a good play. I mean, that's probably the only play he made the whole game. I mean, if you cut up the film and look at it, guys are beat. I mean, we're doing our job. I mean, whatever it takes, we just came short at the end.
There's a little bit of an exchange between you and Sherman after the play. I mean,
I ain't getting into that. He know what time it is. When we're on the field, he ain't doing nothing. That's one play. You know what I'm saying? He's a TV guy. I'm not a TV guy. I play ball. He make one play and you talk. A good play.
He's a TV guy. I don't know. I tell you what, guys, that was one unbelievable play that Richard Sherman made. You talk about the moment. And I got to give some props to Colin Kaepernick, too, because even though he had his turnovers here and there, that final drive, Kaepernick, I mean, and we talk about, you know, Kaepernick as being such a threat on the ground. I mean, he had, 130 yards on the ground that game. He was great on the ground. But on that final drive to try to, they still had a chance to win that game on that drive. He constructed that drive mostly with his arm. I mean, he did a great job of managing the game, picking and choosing, you know, where he wanted the ball to go. He did a great job of putting his team in position. And I, to be honest, I mean, I've seen reports today that talk about, you know, trying to dissect that play, that final throw from Kaepernick to Michael Crabtree. Many guys out there saying, oh, he could have threw it a little higher, put Crabtree in a better position, threw it a little over his shoulder a bit. But, I mean, if you look at it at that play, I thought it was not a bad throw. That is just, it's good offense, better defense. I mean, Richard Sherman, the awareness that he has on that play to keep, you know, to look at, you know, where the receiver is, keep an eye on Kaepernick, twist his body around to make that unbelievable tip. I mean, it was a spectacular play, and one of the reasons why I think that Sherman, I think he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know. I would vote for him. I'm a fan of Richard Sherman. He's unbelievable. Guys, what did you see from the game, though?
From the game, I saw an explosive Marshawn Lynch. We were talking about that last week about how he would perform, and that was a key for in the game for me, especially against the San Francisco run defense. So I was really impressed with Marshawn Lynch. For me, he was my Seahawk. I mean, as much as the Russell Wilson and of course, the Sherman interception, the Sherman tip. For me, it was Marshawn Lynch was the X factor for the Seahawks.
Alex, I got to ask you, do you still think the Seahawks are going to consider getting rid of Russell Wilson, moving in a different direction?
I knew it would come up.
He's managing in the Super Bowl right now, only his second year.
I said if they lose, then maybe. But
just give just it to you. Me, but yeah. Honestly, what I saw was a great game.
It was.
Because in all
game.
Honesty, the Denver-New England game was kind of boring.
It was. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I thought it was boring,
too. Not going to sugarcoat it. It was a little bit boring.
What, it was like 20-3 at one point
in
that game?
Yeah, and the NFC title game was just incredible. I mean, just big swings back and forth. I don't know if it's scarier to root against Colin Kaepernick or root for him, because he makes huge plays, but they're both positive and negative for his team. I mean, you know, the 58-yard run, we just make something out of nothing. The touchdown pass to Anquan Boldin that he throws jumping in the air. I mean, that's a laser beam down the field over Earl Thomas, who's like one of the best safeties in the game.
Right.
But then he comes back and throws that terrible pick to Cam Chancellor, where he basically just throws it right at him.
I don't even know what he was looking at on that play.
He's Jekyll and Hyde, and it's tough to watch him and you know, feel comfortable either way. But the Seahawks, I mean, people are saying that Sherman is crazy, but it's because of how he said what he said rather than what he said.
Exactly, man. Well put.
Because he might be the best corner in the game. He's certainly most vocal.
Yeah.
But the guy makes incredible plays. I mean, the entire Seahawks defense is great, but
he's on another
level. Their secondary, and Sherman in particular, They're incredible.
He is incredible. You know, and that, again, that play, and you're looking at that interview, you know, and, you know, Aaron Andrews, you know, I don't know what questions he has, but he goes, because Michael Crabtree, I didn't even know. I mean, they had some, had an exchange before the game, I believe.
They had an exchange before the season.
Before
actually,
the season.
NBCSports.com reported today that they almost got in a fight at a charity event hosted by Larry Fitzgerald last summer.
Really? That so that's what popped it off.
Sherman tried to shake Crabtree's hand. Crabtree wanted to get in a fight. Sherman said, I'm going to make him pay this year.
Right.
Prophetic there, because he absolutely did.
And that popped it off. So that's yeah. This has been lingering an entire season.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of feuds today. Yeah. Belichick and Welker and Sherman and Crabtree. It's crazy.
No, but, yeah, it was more so how he said it than what he said. Because I totally agree. I love competitiveness when you talk about, you know, sports in general. And he came out and said, hey, I'm the best in the game, baby. And he showed – this is after he makes an incredible play to put them in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Hey, be a little cocky, man. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You have the right to do that.
He just made the biggest play of his life.
Exactly.
In the biggest game of his life.
Right.
I think you should let him go.
Yeah, against a man who's been taught, they've been jarring at each other an entire season. I mean, that's a huge moment. I love the pat on the butt, and he gets in his face saying, hey, what happened, dude? And, you know, Crabtree with the shove and the face mask. I love that. That's what I love sports when you talk about moments like that. And, you know, he's got a right to be. And I think Richard Sherman is. I think he is the best corner in the game now. I it's going to be so interesting to see how they go against all of those weapons that they have in the Broncos. This is when you talk about this matchup, when you talk about Broncos and Seahawks, you got one of the stingiest offenses in the entire league with Peyton Manning, who has weapons left and right, against the best defense, pound for pound, in the NFL. This is a matchup I've been waiting. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for this one. It's going to be great. But, yeah, I mean, and you look at Russell Wilson. Now, Wilson was sacked 4 times in the first half. He did seem a bit out of sync, if you ask me. He seemed a little bit off, if you ask me. But overall, a key to this game, which you cannot say for the 49ers, was that Wilson didn't turn the ball over. He didn't throw any interceptions that game. He was 16 for 25. For 215 yards, a TD, no turnovers. And when you talk about games like this in playoffs,
He did have the fumble.
He did have the one fumble.
Right,
on the first play of the game to start off. Yeah, I mean, and you're still trying to get in the groove. It's a big game. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, but overall, he didn't throw any interceptions. He did it from that standpoint. You got to take the care of the ball in the playoffs. You cannot have turnovers. And he did that. Now, Cap, he had, what, 2 interceptions. He was great when you talk about mixing the pass and the run-up. And he does that. That's what he does. Kaepernick is a great quarterback at putting it on the ground when he needs to, making something out of nothing, and sometimes burning you with his arm. And he did that. He had 130 yards on the ground, and he still gave his team a chance at the end of the game, and it just happened to sway the other way. It was a great game, guy. Again, I definitely echo those sentiments. I felt as though that Patriots and Broncos game was not all that great. It was, I mean, Peyton, you know, you got Manning versus Brady, but still, it didn't live up to the hype, I thought. But
Coming into it, I felt like that was the overhyped game compared to the Seahawks game.
I thought the Broncos and Patriots was going to be a better game than the
Seahawks. Flip-flop, yeah.
Yeah, so there you have that, though. But, all right, well, let's hit the break, guys. When we come back, we're going to talk a little college basketball. Michigan knocking off Wisconsin. How about that? Of course, MSU has Indiana tomorrow. We'll dive into that. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back. All right, guys, let's talk a little college basketball now. Over the weekend, the Michigan Wolverines got a huge, huge win over Wisconsin, 77-70. Nick Stauskas had 23 points to lead Michigan, who host Iowa on Wednesday before visiting the Breslin Center on Saturday. Cannot wait for that game. Guys, just looking at that game really quick, I thought when you look at Michigan-Wisconsin, first of all, a huge win for Michigan. I think we all picked against Michigan. I think we had all – Alex, you picked Michigan to win that game.
Bold.
Really?
Guy to pick
I do
Michigan.
Not remember that. Wow.
I picked it.
Why'd you pick – just curious.
Well, I picked Michigan because I mean, I know the Michigan team very well, and coming off the first couple losses, I mean, they were coming in with Mitch McGarry, injury free, and they were a top 25 team. Lose Mitch McGarry, he's out. They go through a string of losses. They're on the road. I just thought that this would be a time for them to get a good win.
I think you took a shot in the dark and you got
lucky.
I think when you look at it,
your track record might speak against that.
I think Alex took a shot in it because you look at this.
I've taken some other great picks in the past.
No one would have predicted that Michigan was going to shoot 54%. That's what it came down to, basically. When you look at this game, they had, 53% on three-pointers?
They blew them out.
And when you're shooting 54%, though, I mean, hey, I think it's one of those games you look at and you just kind of throw up your hands and say, there's nothing I can do. Because I watched a little bit of that game. I'm sitting there like, Michigan just cannot miss right now. The defense wasn't terrible. I mean, I think Wisconsin has the second scoring defense in the Big Ten. Wisconsin's defense is not bad.
Well, if
when you're shooting hot, though, you're just hot.
If you've ever watched Beeline teams, they mostly shoot upward 40%.
This team has not been shooting 40% game by game. I looked up that. They've had some bad games. I mean,
this
and
year,
defensively, they've given up a lot of points. They were just hot. That's one of those games.
They
just
have
hot
shooters. Nick Stauskas is unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. Don't get me wrong. Air Canada is great. Oh, he's unbelievable.
Karis LeVert, Nick Stauskas. They got shooters on that team.
LeVert's not a great.
They just haven't been shooting well this year. I'm telling you. I know this team.
But if you would have told me that Michigan was going to shoot 54%, into Wisconsin, I would say you're crazy. Anybody who shoots 54% against Wisconsin, you're going to win that game.
Yeah, but didn't Wisconsin shoot like low 30s or something? Weren't they missing a lot?
It wasn't no 54%.
The big thing is Wisconsin basically forgot how to play defense this week.
Exactly.
They let Indiana shoot over 50%. They just don't look like the classic Wisconsin grinded out teams. I mean, earlier in the year, they had Frank Kaminsky score 43 points. They were putting, 97 points in a game. That is not a Bo Ryan team. And right now, I think those chickens are coming home to roost. I think Trayvon Jackson does not play defense.
He relaxes so much. Just chills.
And when you have your point guard not guarding anybody, you let Michigan get into their sets. The key to beating Michigan is to pushing them out to the perimeter, making them not be able to run their sets. That's how Michigan State killed them last year, because they couldn't get into their offense comfortably. But when you have a guy who's just, sagging off the point guard, letting them kind of get into their plays,
let it rain,
they're going to hit shots. They're too good from the outside to stop when you're just letting them run their stuff. You have to disrupt that early. Wisconsin didn't do any of that.
No.
I mean, they almost came back and won at the end.
They made a little run.
But it just seems like they gotta refocus on the defensive end if they want to right the ship, or else they're going to keep losing. Because in the Big Ten, the hits just keep coming. There's too many good teams.
You got to be on your game by game, So, but yeah, congrats to Michigan. I mean, 70, that's a huge win, 77-70. I'm not sure where Wisconsin is now ranked nationally. I believe a new rankings just came out. Michigan State sits at number 3 now. And speaking of Michigan State, they now have a pretty big game against Indiana tomorrow. A pretty big week, to tell you the truth. They have Michigan later on Saturday. This is when Adrian Payne, all right, take the boot off, baby. They need Adrian Payne as we speak right now. And I think if they get him back, I don't know if we've done predictions yet this week. I don't think we have. But I do think they lose one of these games. And if I had to choose, I would say tomorrow. I'm going against Michigan State. I think they lose tomorrow against Indiana. I think it's going to be a close one. But I do see a loss coming from Michigan State, finally. I don't know. That's just me. I'm just throwing out a prediction there. But if Adrian Payne, if he comes out and dominates, I wouldn't be surprised if they go 2-0 here. They're not losing to Michigan, I don't think.
What does Indiana have that Michigan State doesn't have?
That's what I'm saying. If Adrian Payne on the inside, in the interior, if he's back and looks healthy, Michigan State, I think, wins. If he looks a little off and they don't rebound it like they should, I can see a loss coming.
Al, but that didn't answer the question.
Noah Vonleh, that's what they have. They have a big guy inside.
They do.
Illinois didn't have the pieces to make them pay for missing Payne. Indiana does.
That's what I'm saying. Adrian Payne needs to be healthy and looking good in that game. He's missed, two games now? Two straight or three straight games? I don't know. There may be a little rest there, and that will be the key. I think he will be the key tomorrow night. They're not losing to Michigan, though, at all. I don't see that at all. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, honestly, though, with Michigan, if Payne can't be kept out that long, Can he? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I think he'll play tomorrow. I think he'll play tomorrow. I don't see him. This is too big of a week now. I mean, you're starting. I mean, Indiana just coming off a huge, huge win.
I don't know, though. Michigan's, a boot? I mean, that's.
It is. I mean, but we don't. I mean, it's a sprained foot. It's not like it's broken. And he's been questionable for the past few games. I mean, the game against Ohio State, he begged Tom Izzo to play. And just Tom said, no, I want you 100%. So it's not that. It's an injury, but it's not too serious. So I think he does play. I don't know. What do you think is going to happen this week?
I think they'll beat Michigan. I think they'll beat Michigan too. And I kind of agree with you. I think that if Payne doesn't play, that as Matt mentioned in the post, that they'll have some trouble. So,
well, I say who needs Payne, because we got the monster Matt Costello getting six blocks in a game against the Illini.
Yeah, that
he
was
played
nuts.
Very well.
He did play well. Matt Costello's come along. I'm not even gonna lie.
I like him. He makes plays. He does his job. He gets to the rim.
Yeah,
he's a good player. Right.
Costello is definitely he's a guy that even offensively sometimes he shocks me with some moves. I mean he had I think it was an Illini game where he had this reverse layup. I didn't know he had that in his repertoire. I'm sitting there like, wow, okay, he's pretty fundamentally sound. So we'll see though. It's going to be interesting. But predictions. So you think what happens tomorrow?
I think they'll go 2 wins.
2-0.
Yeah, I think they're going to defend their home court.
2-0. Aaron, just throw up something.
Oh. Yeah, let's go 2-0.
2-0. So. I'm going 1-1. I'm going to be the risk taker here. 1-1, Michigan State
Get
beats
that on
Michigan.
Paper, Matt.
Put it on paper.
Get that on
paper. It's over through the airways now. So, all right, well, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to pay homage to Dr. King in a sports way. When you talk about Gene Washington and you talk about Michigan State, not many people know that Michigan State, when you talk about football and sports in general, did a lot to when it comes to the desegregation of sports in the North, if you will. And Gene Washington, we talked to him at the Rose Bowl. He talked about his time and how, you know, Duffy Daughtry tried to do that. So don't go anywhere. You do not want to miss that. Current Sports will be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, it is Martin Luther King Day, folks, and paying homage to Dr. King. You know, it's definitely a special day. You know, looking at what Dr. King did for society and humanity over his time. We were at the Rose Bowl, of course, as you all know, and ran into a MSU football legend, Gene Washington, who actually played wide receiver in the '60s. For Michigan State, alongside with, of course, Bubba Smith, you know, countless players. And not many people know that there were many schools in the North that aided in the desegregation when you talk about sports in college athletics. And one of those schools happened to be Michigan State. Yes, Gene Washington recounted his moment, one of his precious moments when it came to recruiting up here at Michigan State for him. Here's Gene on that moment.
I'm from the Houston, Texas area, so when I went to Michigan State, leaving Texas, everything was segregated, so there, which means that blacks and white students could not attend classes together, we could not play sports together, so we had a separate black league high school and a white league high school. So when I went to Michigan State, Bubba Smith played in Beaumont, Texas, and we played against each other. And Bubba's father was a football coach, head football coach at Beaumont High School, Charleston Parlett. So Bubba and everybody was recruiting Bubba, but we could not go to the University of Texas. That was all closed to us, and Baylor and Texas Tech. So Michigan State was really recruiting Bubba, 6'6", 280 pounds, real big guy. And Bubba put in a good word to Duffy, asking Duffy to make sure you add Gene to the freshman class. So Duffy didn't know anything about me, but he wanted Bubba. So he really wanted to recruit Bubba, see?
Right.
So I got to Michigan State only on a referral from Bubba Smith.
Bubba Smith, wow.
And so I'm going to Michigan State. They didn't know I ran track. I was a hurdler in high school.
Yeah.
And I played quarterback. So they didn't have any big history about me like they do today. They really, when they recruit athletes now, they got all of this history about the guys. I didn't get that. So the whole thing in terms of the integration part, that was my first experience of having a chance to play in an integrated situation.
Yeah.
And so Duffy recruited George Webster from Anderson, South Carolina, Bubba Smith from Beaumont, and I was from Houston. We had 11 or 12 of us from the South. And all of us could not play in any schools in the South. We had to come North. And so over the years, that has changed because it's integrated now. When you look at Alabama and Texas Tech and a lot of those schools now, University of Texas, all integrated. But just think, years ago, that wasn't the case. And Michigan State was kind of the pioneer in bringing a lot of us up to the North. And Duffy was very instrumental, the whole coaching staff, in terms of recruiting us. And so when we would come up North, like when I played at Michigan State, I never wanted to go back home to my home state in Texas.
Right.
Mainly because of the segregation from what I came out of. And it was so much nicer in East Lansing, where you have the integration. And see, when I was, all the time I was at Michigan State, all of the hotels in Texas was closed to black people.
Wow, segregated.
It was segregated. Water fountains.
Wow.
You know, anything you do, it was just, it's a caste system. So all the years I played at Michigan State, and then I went into pro ball at the Minnesota Vikings. It was still like that.
Wow.
So they didn't really integrate until, I think it was 71, 72, something like that, when they started integrating. And so I'm very proud that that I was kind of the pioneer and one of, you know, in terms of migration. There's a big migration of black people leaving the South. And of course, I was one of them. I had to leave.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, Michigan State, I will always be grateful that they gave me an opportunity to play football and to also go to receive a degree. I have 2 degrees in Michigan State. That never would have happened if Bubba hadn't convinced Duffy that, hey, you should bring Gene Washington up there with me. And so I'll always be very grateful to Bubba. And I think about that all the time, and I really miss him. He passed away about 4 or 5 years ago. And then George Webster from Anderson, South Carolina, yeah. So we talk about that all the time when they were living in terms of where we came from and how grateful we are to Michigan State. So I'm just so proud to see the team is still doing very well. And Coach D is just a beautiful guy, a beautiful coach. And he understands all of this history. We talk all the time about that, but he's so grateful that he has the opportunity, because you know he has a chance to go and recruit outstanding kids from across the country. And as I said earlier, the most important thing is the academic part. And state is doing a great job, and our president is she's really beautiful.
Yeah, Luana Cash.
Yeah, Luana's doing real well. And we all just love her to death.
Yeah, so that's Gene Washington recounting his time when he was recruited by Michigan State and talking about the the Michigan State athletic program, what they did to try to desegregate athletics in the North. So interesting stuff there. Thanks a lot, Gene, for your time. All right, guys, just a quick update. Pistons are taking on the Clippers in their yearly Martin Luther King Day game, and the Pistons are trailing now to the Clippers. They were just up like 2 minutes ago, 40-33. Clippers had the lead in the second quarter with 8:41 left in that one. I tell you, the Pistons, I just looked a minute ago and they were leading by 4, and then all of a sudden they're down. This is nuts. This is crazy. This is crazy. All right. And also, Alex, you've been on a little bit of a roll here.
On a roll, baby.
Because you picked the Pistons to lose against the Utah Jazz this past weekend. Trey Burke. A guy who the Pistons passed up on, Trey Burke, a former Michigan guard, who was player of the year last year. He lit the Pistons up. I believe, how many points did he have? It was 20 something. Yeah, he went crazy. He went crazy. Guys, I mean, it's frustrating watching the Pistons right now. They are coming off a win over Washington, I will say, a 104-98 win. But I wish, I don't know what goes through the head of Joe D sometimes, but they had an opportunity to get Trey Burke in that draft. And I believe at the time I was very, very angry that they didn't pick up Trey Burke. But I kind of got comfortable with the fact that they pick up KCP. But it was clear, Friday night, that KCP is no Trey Burke. at all. I'm a little upset. I'm a little salty that they didn't get Trey Burke. I don't know.
Yeah, historically the Pistons with trades and drafts and players coming back to hurt them, it hurts them. So that's why I picked Trey Burke and the Jazz, because we can throw names left and right about former Pistons.
Yeah, the real question here is, though, if Trey Burke would have, you know, put on a Pistons jersey here in Detroit, I don't know if he would be having – he wouldn't be having a season that he is – that he's having with Utah, that he would be with the Pistons.
I agree.
It was too guard-heavy here. He would be competing with too many guards here. I don't know. Matt, what's your take on that?
No, I mean, Utah's a good situation for him. Yeah. Especially – I mean, they don't have a ton of talent. I mean, they're obviously building for the future, so they're going to let him, you know, get as much playing time as possible.
He's got the green light over there.
Yeah, exactly. He can pretty much, you know, feel his way out through his rookie season. I guess for me, it's just – how bad would the Pistons be if they played in the Western Conference? I mean, their record is okay, and they're kind of floating along in the East, but they are not a good team.
No, they're not, right? And, you know, it's something, you know, that we, you know, at looking at the middle of this season, a month and a half ago, the Pistons were kind of on a roll. I'm sitting there like, okay, you know, Brandon Jennings seemed to be playing well. It seemed as though the big three were, you know, kind of getting used to each other on the court. But now all of a sudden, it just went haywire. I mean, guys just jacking up shots left and right. Their defense is so, so bad. I mean, especially in the paint. I mean, the Pistons give up way too much on the interior, which baffles my mind when you got guys like, you know, they're so big down there with a Drummond and Monroe. I don't know. They just seem so out of sync. And here we are looking at the record. I mean, they're 17-23 right now. The Brooklyn Nets are in the playoffs. It was sitting in the number 8 spot right now at 16-22. I mean, it is so bad. And if you look at the top two teams in the Eastern Conference, Indiana and Miami are so head above heels over everybody else at 32-7 and 29-11. If you were to throw Detroit in the Western Conference, it would be just bad. I mean, they wouldn't even be in the talks or anywhere near playoff contention. I mean, on the contrary, if we're looking at the West and the East, it's a huge difference. Kind of sad to see. I mean, oh my gosh, just bad. Just bad basketball being played right now. And how about San Antonio sitting at number 1 in the Western Conference? I have no idea how they keep doing this every single season with the old team that they have. But they're not, I mean, other than Tony Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan, I mean, they have some young talent on that team that really holds it down, but they're 32-9 right now. But yeah, hopefully the Pistons do get it together. But hey, I mean, I'm not complaining that my Pistons are in the playoffs considering how bad they've been playing. So there you have that. All right, guys. Well, it's Friday. Let's go to our picks. Matt, how do we stand right now?
All righty. Well, Alex had that big weekend picking that Michigan upset and picking the Jazz as well. So he's got 12 points. Al, you're second with 11, and I'm bringing up the rear with 9.
Okay.
We got a long way to go.
Got a long way to go. Still a long way. It's what, January 20th?
January 20th. We got a bunch of picks this week. We will start off in Big Ten college basketball. First off, Al, you said you were going to take MSU 1-1. Now's your time to live up to it in the standings here. Indiana at Michigan State, first off.
I'm going to Indiana by 2.
Indiana by 2.
Indiana by 2.
I'll go Michigan State by 6.
All right, I'm going to take Michigan State by 8. All right, next up, the aforementioned Michigan Wolverines there at home hosting Iowa, who might be might be one of the top two or three teams.
Yes.
They are one of the top two or three teams in the league. They are really good.
Without a doubt, Iowa has been playing great, great basketball. And I can't wait to see them, you know, when they play Michigan State, because they match up. There's so many matchups. They match up very, very well with Michigan State. I'm going to go with Iowa in that game by 6. No, by more than that. I'm going to say 11.
Yeah. You know what? Michigan at home. Yeah.
Double-digit road win.
Double-digit road win.
I like hot teams, and I think that going to the Michigan State game in East Lansing, Michigan's going to come in with those two big wins. I'm taking Michigan.
Over Iowa.
By 7.
By 7. Wow. All right. Well, I'm going to take Iowa, but I think it's going to be closer. I'm going to take Iowa by 3.
Okay.
At Michigan. Okay, next up. Wisconsin, let's see if they can right the ship here at Minnesota Wednesday night.
Ooh. Alex, I'll let you go first.
Tough game. Minnesota came out with a good win, but I'm going to go with Wisconsin. I think they'll bounce back.
You think Wisconsin? Sure. I think Wisconsin will bounce back as well. I mean, they're on a two-game losing streak right now. I'm going to take Wisconsin. I'll take Wisconsin in that game too.
This is a tough one. Minnesota's very tough at home.
Yeah, they are.
Obviously, Wisconsin, like we said, is losing.
In the barn.
I might take – well, no, I'm going to take Wisconsin. Sorry, guys.
Almost did it.
Let's transition to the women's game. MSU has two games this week, Thursday and Sunday. For now, we'll just pick Thursday. They're hosting Illinois.
Yeah. You know what? Looking at the women's game this past weekend, I mean, they held their own against Penn State, which is a very, very good team.
Honestly, they had that game in the bag. I watched the whole game.
They did have that game in the bag. Yeah. I mean, it just,
they couldn't,
you know,
they couldn't get any buckets down the stretch. That was it.
Right, right. I think MSU does win that one.
Okay.
Yep.
Alex?
You think so? They're at home.
They are at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. We'll get Michigan State in that one,
all right, let's make it three. So we're all going to take Michigan State there. All right, now let's move to the pro game. Let's see if we can actually get a feel for the Pistons other than Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit at Milwaukee Wednesday.
Oh, they're playing the Bucks on Wednesday. Okay, I'm going to take I'm going to take the Pistons. Pistons by 8.
They're at Milwaukee?
They're at Milwaukee.
Ooh. All right, I'll take the Pistons by 4.
Okay. I'm going to also take the Pistons, even though this is a game that they probably will lose because it's a team they're better than.
Ilyasova.
I know, right? They lose games
Ersan
like that.
Ersan Ilyasova.
Right?
You never know when he's going to start raining threes on you. Exactly. I'm going to take Detroit by 6. I'll just split the difference.
We like
there.
those 2-point differentials.
We really do.
Like the 4-6-8, the 6-8.
Okay, and then last but not least, we're going to go hockey.
Okay. I'm an expert at this sport.
The Red Wings here, they got 4 games this week. Big homestand.
Yeah.
They start out with St. Louis tonight.
I'm going to go Red Wings.
Classic rivalry. I just remember back in the day when who was on there? They had...
Talking about Bob Probert?
Yeah, Bob Probert. And then the Blues had a really good front line.
Well, the Blues used to have Al McGinnis
on
the blue line.
That's right.
100-mile-an-hour slap shot. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And young Brett Hull.
That's right.
When he was
that's
in his
right.
heyday.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yep.
But
Al McGinnis. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Al McGinnis, the heaviest slap shot maybe in NHL history.
I remember. I believe it was him and Fedorov going at it at the skill competition together.
Always.
So what do you get?
I'm gonna go with the Blues. I'm gonna go with the Blues in this one. Detroit just has not been consistent.
Not at all.
I think classically, the Wings win this rivalry, but it's a different Wings era now.
It's a different.
Lidstrom
time.
Is gone.
Time of day, yeah.
It is. Yep. It is a different era. I am going to take Detroit, though. Somehow, some way, I think they find a way to win this one.
Mm-hmm.
The next game, I'm not so sure. Chicago visits Detroit
on
Wednesday.
I'm going with Chicago in that one.
Chicago. I think they dropped two.
Yep.
We're all going to take Chicago. Is there, I don't know how we would do this, but an overtime loss, I think at least one of those is going to be an overtime loss. It seems to be the theme of the season.
I mean, and they just, I believe with the Kings, then they go to a shootout
and they won.
They actually won.
Yeah.
Which it's been a while since we've been able to say that.
Whew.
So
too long.
Yeah.
But that's all we got for now. We'll pick the rest on Friday.
All right, beautiful guys. Well, wow. MLK Day, guys. In the books for us here at Current Sports. Again, my bros, they're having a MLK March at 3 p.m. I'm going to try to make it. But it's always a great time. Historically, I used to do the speech when I was on campus. And we do the speech, and then we kick it off. We used to do, like, you know, how MLK used to do the marches back in the day. We hold a march from the Union to, they probably changed it to, the library. So, short march, not a big walk, but yeah. Great stuff. All right, guys. Well, we are out of time. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. I want to remind you all that my guest for Current Sports TV this week is MSU Athletic Director Mark Collins. You want to be a part of that live audience on Wednesday night at 6, go to WKAR.org and sign up for free. As always, take care. Have one fantastic day. And be easy, people.